We're so glad to be here with you this morning. During this season, we've been highlighting how God used real, flawed, everyday people to play a role in the greatest story ever told, and how he still uses people just like us today. And each week, we focused on a different person or a group involved in the Christmas narrative. And Pastor Scott and Josh have helped us so far as we've talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth, and then we talked about the shepherds, and then the wise men. And today, we're going to talk about two Christmas characters that do not get a lot of attention. They only have a few verses in Luke dedicated to each of them, but they bring to the story of Christmas such amazing depth as we see God's story unfold of the coming of Jesus. Both of these people waited a long time to play their part in the story. And if you've ever seen the Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life, you might remember Clarence. Clarence is this little old man angel. And Clarence is not particularly skilled at his job. He hasn't gotten his wings yet. He's just a gentle, older angel who's been waiting a long, long time for his assignment. But when George Bailey is in his darkest moments, Clarence finally shows up and gets called into action. And he steps in at just the right time and delivers a message of hope. And he helps George Bailey see what really matters in this life. Now, obviously, we don't take our doctrine of angels from a movie. They don't get it right. But here in the story, George Bailey's life has fallen apart, and he is thinking about ending it all. And after waiting a long time, it's finally Clarence's time to shine. Here's a little clip. Hopefully, Jimmy Stewart gets to play this character who's lost everything. And the angel shows up just in time. And we're going to see that happen twice in Luke chapter 2, if you want to turn there this morning, as Luke introduces us to Simeon and Anna. These are two people that have also been waiting faithfully and patiently for their time to shine. So we'll be in Luke chapter 2 all morning. First, a little background. At this point, Jesus had already been born in the manger. Angels announced it. The shepherds visited Jesus. And then 40 days later, Jesus' family went to the temple in Jerusalem for ceremonial purification. And during this trip, they dedicated baby Jesus to the Lord, much like Hannah did with her son Samuel in the Old Testament. And they also sacrificed two doves, thanking God and worshiping for all the blessings that he had given them. So on this trip to church, they met a man who was waiting for them, even though they had never met. We'll see this in verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord," the Lord's Christ. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about Simeon. Some guess that he could have been a priest, but the Bible doesn't specifically tell us that he was anyone particularly important. But he was a man that was dedicated to God, righteous and devout. And he longed for the day that God would send the Messiah and save his people. And God saw Simeon's faithfulness, and the Holy Spirit made him a promise that he would not die until he saw the Christ. And you'd have to imagine he's fairly up in age at this point. It'd be kind of strange to promise him that he wouldn't see death if he was like 22. And then we'll see next that after he sees Jesus, he says that he can finally depart in peace. And those seems like words of a man that's lived a long and faithful life. And it's an amazing promise, right? That he would not die until he saw the Christ. I kind of felt like I needed to see the Eagles win the Super Bowl before I died. And now I've seen two, so I can depart in peace. But Simeon's dream here is fulfilled, and the promise is kept. Verse 27 goes on. It says, "He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword that will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Now, I don't recommend, as someone comes into church, just taking their baby and saying a bunch of stuff like he did. But Simeon is being guided by the Holy Spirit. And he is so excited and so happy that he gets to be part of this promise, this plan for redemption. And he prophesies over the baby. This is the Christ, the salvation of all people, Jew and Gentile. Simeon blessed these young parents and challenged them. But notice it says that Jesus would be a blessing to those that accept him and follow him. But for those that oppose him, their true intents would be revealed. He says the rising and the fall of people dependent on how they accept or reject Christ. And Jesus' life would demand a decision, a choice, a separation of the righteous and the wicked. And Jesus' life still demands a decision. I heard an example recently of a pastor that was asked to speak at a community program thing, and he was going to get up, and he was worried that that what he was going to say wasn't going to fit the program. So he talked to the director, and he said, hey, I'm planning on just getting up and talking about Jesus. Is that, that's what you want, right? And she said, oh, yeah, Jesus doesn't offend anybody. That would be great. But that's not true. And sometimes people think that. Yes, Jesus is an amazing person and teacher, and he did teach wonderful things about forgiving people and loving our enemies, but he also said that he is the only way to get to God. And he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can get to God except through him. And Jesus' life demands a decision. For the humble and the poor and the outcast, this message is a miracle. But for the haughty and the greedy and the wicked, his message is a nightmare. For the lost and the burdened and the scared, it's hope. But for the comfortable and complacent and self-centered, it's a wake-up call. See, Jesus first came to bring hope, but next time it says he comes to bring a sword. He is not weak, he is not feeble, and we can't just accept certain parts of Jesus and reject other parts and act like it's okay. You have to make a decision. And the message of Jesus demands us to pick a side. But for Simeon, this was a dream come true. He wanted this for his people. They were occupied by the Romans, and they weren't following God like they should, and they were suffering. And Simeon longed for his people to repent and be rescued, and the Savior was here. Mary and Joseph marveled at Simeon's message. This would have been another confirmation that for Mary and Joseph that Jesus was different, and he would change things. Simeon was quietly and faithfully serving God, and he may have felt like he was kind of on the sidelines, just waiting, spinning his wheels. But just like Clarence, when his time came, he jumped in and he brought hope. And Simeon pointed to the Savior. Now, right after we see God keep his promise to faithful Simeon, we see another person with a message for Mary and Joseph that day, Anna. In verse 36, it says, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in years. I love that way of saying it, right? She was advanced in years. Having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. Anna was a familiar face at the temple for those that had been coming for years and years. They would have known about Anna. She was married when she was much younger, but she lost her husband after 7 years and then had been widowed for decades. In the years since, she has dedicated her life to worshiping God. And she's lived in the temple. She's prayed and fasted every single day. Many of us struggle just to pray a little bit every day. And she worshiped and prayed night and day. The Bible says that she was a prophetess. In the Bible, that could mean telling what was to come. But more often, it was telling people the truth about what is going on right now. Calling people to repentance. Revealing God's will for his people right now. Offering hope to those that are struggling. Those things are all prophetic. And you may not be familiar with many of their names, but there are a handful of female prophets found in God's word. Miriam, the sister of Moses, Deborah the judge, Huldah, the wife of Shalom, Isaiah's wife, and then in the New Testament, Philip's four daughters in Acts 21:9. We don't get to see any of the other times that Anna gets to prophesy, but what we do see is that she is a prayer warrior of all prayer warriors. And she has had a life that she would not have chosen. She had expected to be married much longer than 7 years. But Anna gave her time and her dreams and her hopes to God. And she walked that out night and day. And God saw her. He didn't think of her as less because she was widowed or because she was single. God loved her and used her. And in her old age, he blessed her with a chance to see Jesus and play a part in the rescue of his people. Verse 38, it says, "And coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." Like Simeon, Anna waited to see her people rescued, and she wanted it so bad. She wanted to see her people redeemed. And they had heard of the Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, for hundreds of years, and he didn't come. And what are the chances that he would come now for Simeon and Anna? I'm sure at her age, Anna had accepted that it might not happen in her lifetime, just like it hadn't happened for her mother or her grandmother. But God blessed Anna with the opportunity. And as a reaction, she told anyone that would listen that Jesus would redeem their people. Like John the Baptist, she heralds the coming of the king. The Messiah is here. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Good news, the Redeemer is here. And the gospel writer Luke is showing us that all kinds of people get to play a part in God's kingdom coming to this earth. Unassuming Simeon, with a promise from God that others would have thought was crazy. But he believed and he waited. I wonder if he ever, like, jumped out in front of a horse just to see, like, if it was true, right? Try and jump off of something. He's, like, lived. But God fulfilled the promise. And then faithful and dedicated Anna, whose life was different than what she expected. A life of a widow at that time was a life of not a lot of hope. But she didn't turn her back on God. And she poured out her whole life for God. Like Mary of Bethany, who poured out the expensive ointment, washing the feet of Jesus. Anna prayed and worshiped and poured out the only thing that she had left, and that was time. And for decades, she worshiped and prayed and fasted at the temple. But she wasn't forgotten. God loved her so very much, and he blessed her patience with an encounter with Christ in her old age. N.T. Wright says this about Simeon and Anna. Everybody has their own role in God's plan. For some, it will be active and obvious, working in the public eye, perhaps preaching the gospel or taking the love of God to meet the practical needs of the world. But for others, it will be quiet, away from public view, praying for God to act in fulfillment of his promises. And for many, it'll be a mixture of the two. Sometimes one, sometimes the other. And Mary and Joseph needed Simeon and Anna at that moment. And the old man and woman needed them. And they had been waiting. Simeon and Anna had been waiting for Mary and Joseph. And now they thanked God for them. Anna and Simeon were ordinary, faithful people who were waiting their whole lives for something like what happens in Luke chapter 2. And they only get a few verses, but aren't you so very happy for them and excited that they got to play a part? See, ordinary people get to play a major part in God's kingdom. And you can think today that you don't have enough talent. Or you could think that maybe you've gone through too much. Or maybe that your time has passed and now you're up in years, so you're just going to coast. Don't believe those lies. God wants to use you, and God has a place and an assignment for you. You might be tempted to come and ask me what that is. And sure, there are some really cool things that you could do around here. The parking lot team is a very helpful and a blessing, and the welcome team, those things are awesome. But the most amazing things that you can do for God are out there. Amen. On your street and in your neighborhood, stopping and talking and being sent out into the community. God wants to use you, and there is a place for you. Like Anna, you can pray and worship God and get ready and then tell everyone who will listen that Jesus loves them and that he came to redeem and save them and that he wants to know them. Clarence got his chance and he helped old George Bailey remember the important things in life. Simeon got his chance and God kept his promise. Simeon got to see the Savior with his own two eyes. Anna got her chance, and her pain wasn't wasted. It pushed her to run to her Creator, and she got to prophesy to her people that the Redeemer was here. Simeon and Anna remind us that God's timing is always perfect, and that his promises never fail. And they waited faithfully, and they trusted patiently, and when their moment came, they pointed others to Jesus. And this Christmas, may we do the same. No matter our age, no matter your relationship status, no matter your past or your circumstances, like Simeon and Anna, let's live with hope and worship with faith and boldly tell the world. That's my challenge to you this week, is to speak the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they make a decision without someone telling them? Speak the name of Jesus. Because the Savior has come. And he used ordinary people, just like you and just like me, to have his kingdom come to this earth and to bring hope where there is no hope. God wants to use you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we head into our time of communion. Let's just take a moment, a breath. And ask God what he would have us to do. Where has he spoken to you today? We know this, if you have breath in your lungs right now, that means God is going to use you. He wants to use you to do something. You have a mission. It might not look like everybody else's. Sometimes it involves a lot of waiting and getting ready and preparing and praying and fasting and worshiping. Sometimes it means carrying grief around for a while because life is hard and circumstances happen. And those burdens are opportunities to exercise your faith and to see it grow stronger. God, I pray for every person in the room today, God, and whatever you might have for them. God, whatever mission whatever talent you want them to use or time you want them to give. We know you give us so that we might give away. God, help us to live with open hands and to walk slowly and to look for people that need the message of hope that is only found in Jesus. Help us to speak your name, God, over and over again. Whether we have extensive training in Bible theology or whether all we have is just the story of what you have done for us, I pray you help us to be humble, but bold and willing to speak the name of Jesus this Christmas.